My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. You've just broken up with someone. You're experiencing a plethora of feelings, some positive and some not so positive. The breakup may bring up unpleasant memories and old trauma, self-doubt, grief questions that seem unanswerable, and even physical manifestations. How can you turn this around, find answers and true love within, and make yourself ready to create the love you want with a new and worthy partner? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey, found these answers and many more for herself after a devastating breakup. Rebecca became inspired by her work in the field of addiction recovery to create a safe, step-by-step path to forging healthy relationships based on honesty, love, integrity, and trust. A relationship specialist with a master's degree in counseling psychology, her private practice focuses on helping clients get what they want out of life and love. She lives in Rancho Santa Fe, California. You can visit her online at www.rebeccafreedom.com. That's R-E-B-E-K-A-H freedom.com. She joins us this evening to discuss her new book, Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. Good evening, Rebecca.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us and sharing this valuable information that I know so many need to hear. Your book was inspired by a breakup you experienced. How did that breakup unfold and how did it leave you feeling?
Well, I was just thinking about that because I literally talked to him yesterday. Mm. But it took 5 years of like time apart for us to be able to be cordial. So how the breakup unfolded was Dan, I talk about in the book, Dan and I were friends for about 3 years, and he was very much just like a gypsy. And he was an exit from the norm of what I was, you know, the guy I was dating was sort of like the macho, real masculine, you know, Neanderthal-ish Texan kind of thing. Military. I dated every branch of the military. My friend told me it's not a Yahtzee. So Dan was a departure from that because he was just an artist and, you know, a gypsy, free thinker, just, you know, fluid. And we dated, and after 8 months together, it was just so apparent that we were not on the same page. You know, I was brutal. I just kept trying to get him to be the responsible adult, you know, that was gonna hunker down and have a home, and he wasn't having it. And so finally I just felt so bad. I was like, you know, I can't continue to just like berate you into being what I want. We need to break up. And then after we kind of mutually came to that agreement, I, you know, spent the next year and a half like regretting it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but then it, you know, but then ultimately, being an artist that I am, it resulted in me writing, finishing the writings of Breakup Rehab.
What were your takeaways from this experience?
With Dan?
Yes.
And just my relationships in general, because, you know, I've certainly matured quite a bit through every single breakup. My takeaways from the experience is every relationship is just a reflection of where you are on your own spiritual path, on your path of growth. You know, some people really can do that with one person. They can go through many iterations of who they are and the relationship can continue. For me, that's not the case. I expand. I just, you know, I'm like, yeah, just the relationship will just go away. It'll die. So my takeaway is that relationships, when you're in them, are meant for growth. And when you're out of them, when you're going through the breakup, they're really like refined by fire. They're really meant for growth.
Did I read on your Facebook page that just as your book was being published, you had another breakup?
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk about it?
Yeah. I should probably give all my boyfriends NDAs, non-disclosure, you know, and make sure that they don't come out. I'm sort of like Taylor Swift in that way, right? Like, I just go through breakups and then they become my muses. This last time I started dating this guy, and it was just, again, quick, really intense. We slept together right away. There was a lot of passion. And then we tried to like catch up with each other about our values and priorities. And his priority was very much open relationship, exploration of plant medicine. And that was not my priority. My priority is just sort of coming into shape. Like, I really was in a pretty codependent space, I think, when we were together. Plus, I was getting laid. So, you know, that accounts for a lot. And then when we broke up, he just was like, I don't really feel like you're my life partner. And I was like, and that hurt. And I spent a lot of money on therapy. But now, again, a couple months later, I can't even tell you like the miracles that are happening because of this breakup. It's like change is changing me. It's changing my business. It's changing my perspective of the world. It's changing my definition of what I want in life. So really powerful.
Are you very powerful. Are you one of these artists who suffer for your art? Is that what this is about for you?
You got me. I'm not going to cut off my ear, though, anytime soon.
Okay. We're not going to call you Vincenta. Just for our listeners, I just want to share that, obviously, you can hear in our conversation right now that in addition to providing valuable information, Rebecca brings a lot of humor and a lot of interesting perspective to her work. So the book is definitely worth a read. Now, Rebecca, are most of us prepared for breakup?
Oh, really great question. No. No. Even if you're the person who's initiating the breakup, which I've been on that side, I think that the energy of loneliness, the energy of separation, the longing to come home, really is just going to hit all of us so hard after a breakup. So, and, you know, there's exceptions to the rule. Of course, there's some people that really, I love Margaret Mead, the anthropologist. She said it best when someone interviewed her back in the 70s, and they said, "So, Margaret, you've had three failed marriages." And she was like, "No, I had three successful marriages. They all just ran their course." They just ran their course. And I think that is the challenge in breakup, is actually knowing when the relationship has run its course.
Are there some people who get into relationships to have the experience of the relationship, and when they're done, when they've run the course, are ready to get out?
What I hear you asking when you say, if there are some people that just... Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of transactional relationships out there. Need-based relationships is what I hear you asking. Sort of like people are just like, "Oh, that girl's hot and I just want to sleep with her," or "That guy has money." And I live in Southern California, so it's all like status, status-based exchanges, you know, like the hedonistic exchange between people. But there's also sort of like the spiritual veneer relationships that happen. You know, where it's like, "Oh my God, I knew you in a past life. We should totally work out our karma together."
Mm-hmm.
So ridiculous.
No, I just found that relationships, whether they're romantic or not, there seems to be relationships that we're meant to be in to learn, to grow something, to move on or to move forward. Do you have that experience also?
I would say that is continuously the silver lining of whenever I get in a relationship and I'm challenged, whenever I get out of something, I'm challenged, and romantic or otherwise, you know, I'll just use an example that's more inert. Like, I had a friend come down from Canada, and we're really good friends, but she, the whole time she was here, she was very much editing me and auditing me. And I just told her, listen, I need you to, like, just tell me what I'm doing good. Like, I don't need you to just tell me all the things I'm screwing up. So, you know, relationships require just very, a lot of responsibility on both people's part and clear communication.
Is ownership a big issue for most people?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like this fear of responsibility.
So the one partner or the other just won't take ownership for their stuff.
Again, awareness is huge, right? Any place we have a judgment or a belief, we're saying, I'm not willing to outcreate this judgment or belief. This is the edge of my awareness. I'm not willing to have any more awareness beyond this point. And so from that place, we'll just continue to project, expect, blame, look outside of ourselves rather than say, hey, I have a choice in the matter and I can create and accept something different.
Absolutely. My guest, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. She's the author of the new book, Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. We'll be back with more of Rebecca after these words from the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman! Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. She's the author of Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. Rebecca, is breakup a traumatic experience for most people? And if so, why?
Absolutely. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, or in Bruce Lipton terms, our thoughts are things. So we'll start to construct this world with another person, right? We start to construct like a future, and some of us have families, and we create this foundation. And then when that dissolves, the consistency that was created in our body, like our nervous system has to adapt. So it's absolutely, it can be traumatic. Rejection actually hurts.
Mm. Does childhood trauma have an impact on breakups? And do some people suffer more deeply because of the original trauma they experienced when they were young?
Absolutely. There is this, the acute trauma can compound. And I can really speak to that because my parents died in my 20s. And so I'm working through what I would call an orphan complex. And so when I meet somebody and the relationship doesn't work out, all of a sudden I'm regressed into, you know, being a young girl who doesn't have the support she needs. So the breakup can really regress us back to the place when we had trauma. So if we had trauma at age 5, that's your level of coping mechanism to go through the breakup. If it was at age 13, that's your level of coping mechanisms to go through the breakup. And to that point, that's why we need breakup rehab. That's why we need support to onboard better coping mechanisms to get through this really hard time.
If someone as a child experienced abuse and they're in an abusive relationship, is that why some people hang on?
Your definition of love gets really shaped through your early childhood experiences. Absolutely. So, you know, the secondary gain as, the simple answer is abuse absolutely shapes what we'll accept in our lives and what we won't accept. And it takes practice and awareness to create healthy boundaries.
And how does one who's in an abusive relationship muster the courage to say no more?
That's a really good question. And I would say that, you know, I can't answer it for everybody, but for me, it was really leaning on my faith and going back to the church. My dad was a pastor. And so, you know, having a spiritual practice, realizing that that person is not my savior, that I'm my own autonomous being, and finding fellowship with people that can really support you is how you can make that transition out of an abusive place. But it's a very powerful decision to make, and you have to decide and be convicted in that decision.
Now, is there one breakup in our lives that sets the pattern for the rest that follow?
The breakup that sets the pattern for the rest is when we're born, when we leave, when we leave like the oneness of the cosmos as a soul, an infinite being, and we come into this finite form. That is the most challenging quote unquote breakup we'll go through. And that sets, I think, karmically and otherwise, it sets the pace for the relationships we'll experience in our lifetime.
That's why it's so important that we build that relationship with ourselves, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with ourselves and with our higher power, as we come to understand it, is so important. I personally don't know how people really manage through life without God or Atman or whatever as their primary focus, grace as their primary, you know, support, because humans, we're going to continue to just disappoint each other because we're human, you know?
That's so true. That's so true. Do people in relationships have different experiences with breakups based upon their attachment style? For example, one person may be clingy and anxious and have a hard time letting go, while the other may be detached and unemotional.
Those are the ones who typically really gravitate towards each other. So there's the in a sort of pathological view, there's called the narcissist and the codependent that tend to magnetize each other, because we want to come back to wholeness, right? We want to come back to be able to have the experience of healing our wounds. But because we're flawed beings, we often just re-injure each other. Or as Liz Gilbert says, we just impale ourselves on one another. So yes, there are attachment styles absolutely contribute to whom we're attracted to and how we can cope with that attraction.
And how will breakup rehab help people identify that they're in that pattern?
Well, I take them through the steps of definitely forgive and let go. Just know you're on a learning curve here in this life, really focusing on living your purpose and facing your fears with love. There's just a lot. Just like I was saying, there's so much in this book. There's spirituality, there's humor, there's education, there's actual tools, there's affirmations. Like, I don't know that there's a better book out there to help people get through breakups.
There's a lot of breakups going on right now, aren't there?
Probably there could be a ticker that would be going, you know, like one every 5 seconds. Oh, another one bites the dust. There goes another one. Another one bites. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of breakups are going on.
I just experienced through my own channel of friends and family that there's just been a tremendous amount, especially this year, of people who have parted. Do you see that happening?
Obviously there's been some cosmic events this year with the eclipses in August, and that is when my breakup happened. The lunar eclipse initiated the beginning of the breakup, and the solar eclipse finalized it. So it was like sort of like a two-part breakup, right around those events. And now we're in the full moon in Aries, so people are really starting to like take action, motor through. So, you know, this has been a turbulent year. Just been a really turbulent year so far.
To say the least, not just relationships, but the world in general.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about grief. Do people have to grieve a relationship the way they grieve a death, for example? What do they do?
Yeah, I think that it naturally unfolds, and the denial process can last where you're in shock. You're sort of like, how could this happen? Or do I have to reconfigure my dream? How much yoga and green drink do I have to drink to be able to get the relationship I want? How much chanting and like wearing amethyst do I have to go through?
Or black tourmaline to protect ourselves, right?
Yeah, how many clearings? You know, your gratitude list right next to your clearing or list right next to your mantras, whatever. Yeah, I mean, we're all going to go through it how we go through it. But certainly anger will come up. Sadness will come up. Bargaining, could we be friends, will come up. Will they come back to me, will come up. And eventually, you know, you'll get to a place where you can really just say, you know, God or my higher power has a bigger plan for me than I could ever have for myself. And you just practice the art of surrendering, just surrender and just be like, you know, this breakup, this relationship was a contribution to my life. And how can I use what I've learned to really walk my path?
Is that harder for women than men? Because my experience has been women grieve the loss of a relationship and men are more likely to replace women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. In my studies so far, what I have come across is women are impacted emotionally. The devastation is much happens immediately. And for men, because of the molecule of testosterone, it has more of a latent effect. So men tend to carry regret, which creates more heart disease in their system. Mm-hmm. And women tend to process through the emotion of grief. It hurts. It does hurt, absolutely. But we have a lot more resources to talk about it, to have a community around it. And again, that's why I didn't write Breakup Rehab to be like gender specific. Like there's a lot of gender specific books out there, but it's for men as much as it is for women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is the most important thing for a person going through a breakup to know?
That it's going to be okay. It's going to be like it's going to take the time it takes to be okay. You know, it's going to take whatever a lot of us are like, why aren't I not over this yet? It's been 2 years. It's been 3 years. Well, it's going to take the time it takes. Like, how willing are you to look at yourself? How willing are you to ask for help? How willing are you to work the steps? And how willing are you to allow true, healthy relationship into your life?
My guest this evening, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. She's the author of the new book, Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. Rebecca, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
You can buy my book on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble to pick it up. And this is a book you buy for yourself and your friend who's going through a breakup. And you can find me at RebeccaFreedom.com. That's R-E-B-E-K-A-H Freedom.com.
And I understand you have some YouTube sites also, correct?
I do. I do a podcast called Heard Not Seen. And you can link to my YouTube through my website.
We'll be back with more of Rebecca Freedom McClaskey and her book, Breakup Rehab, after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on iOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. She's the author of Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. What's the best thing you can do for yourself after a breakup?
The best thing you can do, well, I would just, you know, biasly want to be like, work with me. But the best
buy
thing
her can, book. If you yeah. have broken up, even if you anticipate breaking up 5 years from now, buy her book. There you go.
The Christmas is coming up, stocking stuffers. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing that happens immediately after breakup often is self-aggression, whether you're the one who initiated the breakup or you got broken up with, where you think like, how could I be so stupid to attract this to me? Or, you know, why me? And ultimately, positive self-talk. I'm worthy. I'm valuable. I can give myself the space and time to grieve what I need to grieve. I can love never dies. I can continue to love, but it doesn't mean I have to be in the relationship in the same way. Like this, you have to be really mindful of your internal dialogue right after a breakup.
What's the worst thing someone can do after a breakup?
Get on Tinder and go sleep with other people.
I know you devote a lot of time in your book to breakup sex and the dangers of that. Why is that dangerous?
There's a saying in the field, victims are violent. So meaning that the pain that creates victimization then gets passed on. So, you know, if you just think about that in the systemic global effect, Are we passing fear or love down? And we're passing fear down, right? Fear of loneliness, fear of rejection, fear of annihilation. And we're just jumping, you know, into another relationship with people and allowing that too. For those of us who are just like, yeah, sure, I'll hook up with whoever, we're allowing fear to be the guiding force in our relationships. So I think that that's why it's dangerous.
Not to mention sexually transmitted disease.
Well, yeah, herpes is not fun.
Yeah.
It's not awesome.
Herpes is nothing to laugh about, absolutely. Since your background is in addiction counseling, do you think that people can become addicted to a person or to the feeling that that person engenders in them?
Absolutely. Love and sex addiction are not just something that Tiger Woods came up with. because we have hormones, neurotransmitters in our body that are likened to heroin. And so that rush of attraction you get absolutely can become an addictive substance.
So when Brian Ferry of Roxy Music sang, "Love is the drug that's got a hook in me," he was telling the truth.
Scientifically, we know this to be true, but I don't want to make it a pathology. We're wired. It's actually beautiful. There's a beautiful thing. We're wired for connection. We're wired for connection. Now here, one of my mentors that I really love watching is Teal Swan. She's on Spirit Science and on YouTube. And she said, if you're one of these people that feels like you need space away from a human, or you're running, oftentimes it's because you are unable to show up your authentic self. And showing up and feigning who you are is exhausting because you're never actually connecting. You're never actually truly bonding. You're not vulnerable. Your barriers are up. They're not down. And that can create the love addiction where we feel like it's never enough. It's never enough. We're never satiated, right? We need more attention. We need more likes. We need more friends versus quantity over quality.
That is very tough. That's as hard to break as someone who's addicted to a drug or to tobacco or anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely know that I anesthetize loneliness with my iPhone. Like it's I could be taking that time to sit in meditation for 5 minutes and breathe and practice chanting Sat Nam. And there's so many other things I could do to create that internal connection. But it's almost like addiction's a perpetuation of habit, right? That it's a bad habit because my habit is like to disassociate from that fear of loneliness and to distract myself. Mm-hmm. And then that actually creates more of an injury, more of an issue. And so, yeah, I mean,
that impedes you from opening up to real, true relationship.
To the present moment.
Yeah.
The power, and I do mean this, like, and I love Eckhart Tolle's, the power of now. It's now, right now. I think about how many breakups have I gone through because I was future casting. I was way out in the present moment being like, am I going to marry this person versus presently with them and being like, do I like who I am with this person right now? And do I like the company of this person right now?
That's a great question. Please repeat that for our listeners. I think that's fabulous.
That how many breakups have I gone through because I was too preoccupied with the anxiety it caused of looking into the future and being like, is this my life partner? Are they going to spend forever with me? Which is completely irrelevant. It is 100% irrelevant. You know what matters the most is what's happening right in front of you. Mm. What is that person saying to you right now? Are they saying, you know, I don't believe in God. I'm agnostic. And on your side of the aisle, you're like, I totally believe a connection with grace and the higher power is so important. Listen to them.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what's in front of you, not what you hope to have happen down the line. The preoccupation with potential will always create more pain.
And the preoccupation with saying, if I'm with that person, I can mold them into the person I want them to be, because that will never happen.
Oh, I've done that too. And that's what happened with Dan. Is I gained so much from him because he wasn't willing to divorce himself to continue the relationship. Does that make sense?
Like, absolutely.
He was like, no, I'm an artist. This is what I want. And it was just, you know, sometimes it was like dealing with a petulant child, but that's what he taught me. And he actually helped, catalyze me being able to own, being psychic, own my spiritual gifts more, and just kind of step into more of who I was, because he was so, he was not willing to be molded or changed. And that was a gift. That was absolutely a gift.
Absolutely. To allow that person to mirror for you what your true values are, I think, in that moment, I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we have friends and family members, and they love us, and they encourage us, and we've just gone through a breakup, and they come and they say blah, 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 blah. What is the worst thing someone can say to someone after a breakup?
Generally, you'll find somebody else, right? That's an initial focus. As soon as you're off, out of a breakup, you know, they can even berate the person that you are with. Like, you loved that person, right? Or you were trying with them. So as well-meaning as friends are or family members are, even to the point of the book by Greg Braden, they're just not that into you. Mm-hmm. The kindest, most compassionate, gentlest thing that you can say to someone going through a breakup is, who are you now? Who are you now? Like, what is the relationship you have with yourself, with your being, with your, you know, your well-being, versus, again, preoccupation with the future.
Mm. In addition to that, how can friends and family support those who have just gone through a breakup?
Meditate together, you know, commit to being accountability buddies, where you are saying like, okay, I'm going to meditate together, or we'll go for a walk together, or I'll lift you if it's in your practice, I'll lift you up in prayer, or I'll light a candle for you, or really to just be that that nonverbal support. And I'll say it, this is like the best way. So I'm part of a women's circle, and the lady who was leading it, she had someone say to her, do you know that your dog loves you? And she's like, yes, he shows me every day. Has he ever said it to you? No, he's never said, I love you. So she's like, sometimes words get in the way. So be supportive through your consistent action.
That's really important. Be supportive through your consistent action. And my experience has been, as an interfaith minister and a spiritual counselor, the greatest gift we can give to someone going through anything is to just be there, listen, and honor their presence and honor their process.
Yes. Yes. To hold space. That's to hold it. Space. To just really hold this, like, expansive, like, you are a fellow traveler on this life, and your path is going to look different than mine. Even if you get married to a person, their path is going to be joined with yours, but it's not going to be the same as yours, right? That's so important to be able to have that interdependent exchange.
And don't offer them frequent meals and say, honey, you look like you're losing weight. Eat, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I had a grandmother who was the greatest example of unconditional love, but to her her credit and to my dismay is her satisfaction for everything, the medicine for everything. Eat, honey. You don't look good. Eat. Have something to eat. And I think that's something that we don't want to force on our friends unless they truly need some nutrition. My guest this evening on Destination Unlimited, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. She's the author of Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want, and we'll be back with more of Rebecca after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country.
When
I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be
a... 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 I want to be
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
I spent a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. She's the author of Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. Rebecca, in your book, you say that readers will come to understand that what happens to you happens for you. Please explain.
That is what a classic line, right? What happens to you happens for you. So the... why me is definitely sort of that victim mindset, right? Like, oh, I don't deserve this. How could they treat me like that? But there's a gift. There's always an underlying gift in our challenges that we're being called to be more than we currently are, to evolve and to grow. And so that really is a statement. What happens to me happens for me. It's a statement of expansion and evolution.
Absolutely. Taking everything that happens in life and looking at the message that comes with that and the knowledge and the growth that comes through that, and not just breakups, but literally everything that we do in life. If we lose a job, for example, that's a form of breakup. Or if we lose a friend who was not in relationship with us, but somebody that we counted on, what's the message in the loss of that friend?
I mean, to this point, challenges are going to come. You know, challenges are going to come in life. There is no life that is not without some sort of struggle. And then the gift of that struggle is realizing it's not that the struggle comes. It's in how I deal with it. I really just want to speak to this succinctly. So my early breakups in my 20s, I just dealt with it by sleeping with more guys, right? That was my coping mechanism. It was just like, so, you know, of college. And then as I matured and went through more breakups and I got more bearings under me, I was like, oh, this is a time of intense healing work. This is the healing work that needs to happen. It's time for me to go to therapy. It's time for me to do yoga. It's time for me to meditate. It's time for me to start to anchor in to these things that feed my soul and not be so reliant on my partner to be the only good in my life. And that's something that I would encourage people to do throughout when you're dating somebody, to make sure that your partner, you're not anchoring into your partner as your only good in your life.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, you offer 12 steps in breakup rehab, and also you're going to have a 12-step program next year. Please tell our listeners about that.
I am so excited to introduce the Breakup Rehab 12-week detox program. And I called it detox because love is intoxicating, biologically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And it takes about that amount of time, 3 months really of committed, and 3 months is a blip in a lifetime, to work the steps and to be able to onboard brand new skills. So again, you can anchor into more than just romantic relationship as your good. You'll find a completely new center point.
And how can our listeners find out more about that program?
That program is coming into formation, and all the information again will be on my website at rebeccafreedom.com. That's R-E-B-E-K-A-H freedom.com. Lots of products I'm offering. I offer, you know, how to use essential oils for breakups and audio. My website is just like packed full of support.
Wonderful. Now, the 12 steps, what's the first step in the program?
The first step is to forgive, to let go and forgive. And that's the most challenging.
How do you define forgiveness?
I define forgiveness as not holding yourself or others hostage to the past.
Is self-forgiveness harder than forgiving others?
We have so many blind spots, you know, that because we're so close to a situation. So, we find this to be true. It's often easier to care for our brother than it is to for ourselves.
Why do you think that's so? Is that conditioning from childhood?
I just think it's the same thing, that we're wired for connection, you know, and that is one of the forms of connection, is caring. And I love in CODA, Codependence Anonymous, they say, I know the difference between caring and caregiving, right? Mm-hmm. Caring is like, there's some clear boundaries there. The person is receiving what you're giving. They're like, there's gratitude, there's an exchange of gratitude or reciprocity there. But caretaking somebody is really sort of pushing your agenda onto them.
That's very valid. Thank you for sharing that. The second step in breakup rehab is trust your authentic self. What do you mean by that?
Our super ego, God, Atman, Brahma, the always never changing sort of higher self, that we all, that you know, our souls are infinite. There's an infinite component to our souls and a finite component to our bodies. So trusting that intelligence that brings us back to center, I would say. That part of you when you slow down and you meditate, that still small voice inside of you that's just like, it's okay, you can walk away, it's gonna be okay, or try again, try again. Just really trusting that your heart, I would say.
That's the mantra you offer in breakup rehab. You say, be brave, try again. Tell us about how that mantra came to be.
We can close our hearts after a breakup. We can say, I hate men, women suck. You know, we can just be embittered by the world. We can be, and Lord knows, with everything that's been going on, shootings, natural disasters, it's easy to look around and be like, what's the point? And so bravery, being brave, being courageous, is keeping your heart open, keeping that, being able to keep that yearning present. And to try again is to love anyway.
Love anyway. Go a little more with that. Love anyway. What does that mean?
Oh, man. Well, this last breakup that happened, I spoke those words, you know, as almost like a vow to say, like, and it's been true of whomever's come into my life, boyfriend or friend who's come through, where I say, you know, we may not be in a romantic relationship. That may not be the configuration that is best for us. And I've said, I don't know where you belong in my life, but God does. And I'm going to love you anyway. If you don't have to show up this particular way for me to love you. It's actually the practice, the continual, oh man, and it is a practice of unconditional love to say, like, I see you through the eyes of compassion, that you're on your path and I'm on mine, and I can love you exactly where you are for who you are.
That is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Now, your fourth step in breakup rehab is face your fears with love. How can we bring love to our fears?
You know, that's part of me. That's that the humanity in loving somebody is, it's terrifying. it's terrifying to, because they're going to be your number one influencer, you know, to say, I'm going to share a consciousness with you and you might screw up my life. Like, I might spend years of my life. And it's scary, but when you love, you just go, and it's all going to work for the good. Fear tells you I lost something. Love says there's no loss to be had.
Love tells you that everything is unfolding exactly the way it should.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it. You say in your book that we are all endowed with the ability to wield magic. Tell us more.
I'm just such a kid at heart.
I think we all are. I think all of us on this path are.
My dad used to tell me stories of fairies that lived in clover patches and of, you know, and he would leave candy on my bedstand. And I think it was like an elf that left it there. And so wielding magic is that wonderment, like keep wonder alive, right? Don't just live in conclusion of just like, well, this person is this thing and blah, blah, blah. Stop living in conclusion. Wielding magic is being in the innocence, not the conclusion, not that, well, been there, done that mindset, but to be an allowance of like, what does life have for you? What does life have for you? And that's wielding magic, is to be in the allowance of like play and wonderment.
I think that's something that all of us all of us so-called adults need to remember is that feeling of kids that we had, the feeling that we had when we were kids, of wonder and discovery and the marvelous mystery of this world that we're brought into. I think that's something we all need to recapture. What do you most hope readers will take away from Breakup Rehab?
I hope they renew their faith in life. You know, that there's a lot of mystery in what we're all doing here, but that there's that faith quickens. It quickens things, and doubt slows them down. So to just be able to go through the process, the 12 steps, and have their faith renewed in love and hope and connection.
And on that note, my guest, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey, author of the new book, Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. Rebecca, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about your work.
Sure. Barnes & Noble's or Amazon. And if you want to work with me directly, you can go to RebeccaFreedom.com. That's R-E-B-E-K-A-H Freedom.com.
And again, listeners, her book is so filled with sage advice and humor, and that's the best part about it. It's not this dry read. It's this wonderful, sometimes self-effacing read where she shares her experiences and the program that she's created to help you get over your breakups. Thank you for joining us, Rebecca. So wonderful to have you with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.